one of my favorite songs. You know, what I want for my children, I want them to serve others. And I want them to be a blessing to those around them. I don't want them to be selfish. I want them to put others first. And I want them to love the Lord more than all. Folks, this morning, you know, yesterday the youth group got a bunch of the seniors, some of the older folks, and got us downstairs and sang and played the piano and gave testimonies. It was a great blessing. Fixed a great meal, Scott and Christina and the youth workers. The meal was wonderful. I tasted of it was soup and salad, and I tasted the soup, and I said, man, that's not Campbell's soup. I wonder where they got that. Come to find out, they stole the recipe from Panera Bread. No, I'm kidding with you. They got a knockoff recipe, and it was just like it. It was wonderful. So I just want to thank everybody for your labor of love. It was a great encouragement to all of us. We were talking about some of us out in the lobby and just how much it meant to us. Serving others. Everybody in this room is going to get older. How many of you don't believe that? Okay? Would you get that guy some medicine down there? He needs it. He thinks it's not going to get older. And I used to think that as a kid. When I was 22, 24 years old, I thought I was invincible. I mean, I thought I could just go on forever. And I'd see older people say, man, I'll never be like that. And, you know, I are one now. I just look at it and I say, wow, how'd that happen? And it doesn't happen like this. It happens like it's done. I mean, it just goes so quickly. But I'm learning more and more the value of things. You know what's not that valuable? Your car. The one that's got power steering on it. The one that's got the little button that heats it up in the winter and heats your seat and cools your seat. And it's got all the whistles and bells. You start to turn lane and it goes beep, beep, beep. And you see somebody beside you. I mean, it's got it all. You can even take just take me home. And it goes toward your house. You hope it's your garage anyway. And that will make it work. You know what that's worth? Not much. You'll have to get another one day. You know your house? If you've lived in it more than 5-7 years, you're going to have to start doing things to it. Fix the water heater or clean the gutters, or you're going to have to paint where the kids have made a mistake and erroneously written their name and crayon on the wall, or been an issue, the tiles cracked, or the shower begins to have the grout kind of coming loose. And so you just give it a little time. Won't be long. You have to start doing stuff to it. You know, the bottom line is, it's not worth all that much anyway. What you'd rather have? A home or a house? Everybody I know of say, I'd take the home. In other words, the family unit that has a sweetness to it. If you remember, the very first home, Adam and Eve, they have Cain and Abel, and they're so happy they got two sons, and pretty soon comes to worship, and one son's got a bad heart, and he brings vegetables, and the Lord says, it's got to be a lamb, it's got to be the blood's got to be shed. It pictures my son dying one day and paying for your sins. I need an atonement. And he got so mad he killed his brother over it. Adam and Eve, first family, suffered and said, I'd rather have a home than a house. And it's been that way ever since. I want to draw your attention to a few things this morning. Building love into your home. Now, I want you to see this built up in Him. Colossians 2:7. That's our theme for the year. I'd like to build up love in your home and in your heart. I want to just give you some thoughts this morning. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 19. As Brother Scott read it. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And I want you to understand the Bible does teach that a wife is to love her husband. But let me tell you why it's not written in the same fashion. Husbands, love your wives. And it doesn't say specifically wives love your husbands. If you have your Bible, turn to Titus, if you would. Titus, it's just a little bit back. Titus, chapter number 2. And I want you to notice something. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Verse 3. The aged women likewise. And so it started off with the aged men. Now it goes to aged women in verse 4. This is what the aged women are supposed to do. The aged women, these are the women that have been married for a while, that they teach the young women to be sober, serious-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, why would God say it in that fashion? I'll tell you why. We had, in that day, most of the marriages were arranged. Almost all of them. In other words, if a father said, I've got a daughter, I want to get 3 cows and a goat for my daughter, and I'll give them to you. The daughter didn't have any say in whose husband, whose wife she's going to be. So the scripture says, husbands, you love your wives. I know she was assigned to you. She was a gift to you. So here's Isaac. He gets older, and his dad says to the servant, I want you to go get my son a wife from my family. And I don't want her a wife. I don't want him to have a wife of these people. They don't know the Lord. They're wicked of heart. So he goes back to his homeland, and he finds Rebekah, and he brings her back. And he notices Isaac's working in the field, and Rebekah asks the servant, says, who is that? He says, oh, that's the master. That's the one that Abraham's brought you for. Oh, and she put her veil down. They were married. We have people in our church that their marriages have been arranged. And yet we've got people that chose each other and don't love each other. What's wrong? Well, I want you to understand, first off, I'm going to give you some R's. Number one, realize love is a commandment. It's a commandment for all of us in this room. You're to love your wife, you're to love your husband because God says so. It's not an option. You're to love your parents, it's not an option. You're to love your brother and sister, it's not an option. You're to love your fellow man, it's not an option. But they don't treat you right. That doesn't matter. As a child of God, as my child, I want you to love people. It will protect your heart from bitterness. You see, if you're working let's say you're working at the CIA or the FBI, or you're working at NASA, or you're working at Joe Bo's garage shop, there are going to be people in there that are not going to treat you right. And your Heavenly Father says, Dave Pittman, I don't want you to have a bitter heart. So I want you to love that guy. How do I do that? Well, number one, remember, it's a commandment. It's what I'm telling you got to do. Now, I'm your Father in heaven. I'm your Heavenly Father. And I know what's best for you. And it's best for you to love your brother. I was 10 years old when my brother was born. And I was so excited about it, but I didn't put two and two together. I was with my grandparents in Oklahoma whenever he was born. And they said, you got a baby brother? And I said, oh, that's great. Now I've got somebody to go play football with. He couldn't throw the ball till he was 6. He was worthless. He was no good for me. What's a brother that can't play ball with you? I mean, what's a brother you got to hold his bottle? Oh, man. This wasn't what I thought. He'd get my stuff and slobber all over it. And have you ever tried to throw a football when you got slobber on the end of the ball? It's just, ugh. What do I want that for? Or my glove? My goodness. I got what I asked for, but it wasn't what I thought. But the Lord said, Dave Pittman, you love your brother. Boy, he can't do nothing. What's the benefit? I think that's the way we all think. Why should I love my neighbor? They're not good to me. Why should I love my wife? She's not good to me. Do you realize that God said to people that didn't pick each other, husband, you love your wife and don't be bitter against her. Well, she's not what I thought she was. That doesn't matter. God says, you love her. I gave her to you. It's just the system. It's the way it works sometimes. And I see people in our church that have been designated for each other, and yet they love each other very much. Why? They're obeying the command of God. You see, in our society, we are a society of independence. What is July 4th? Independence Day. Well, that's great. We're made free and we all should celebrate that. But we should not let the independence of our personal freedom go to our heart to say, I can do what I want to do. Because if you're going to please the Lord, you've got to love your wife. And you've got to love your husband. And you have to love your brother or your sister. Even though they slobber on your ball glove, or they lose your ball glove, or they wreck your bike, you love your brother and sister. It's the second command. Love your neighbor. How many of you have had some times in your life? These are young people. They're great kids. Really, they are. Good kids. How many of you sometimes struggle to love your brother or your sister? I'll be honest. Just raise your hand up. Well, that's every hand. Y'all did a bad job with your kids. I don't know what the deal is. Now, you know what it is? It's they're like us. We love according to benefit. But that's not what God said to do. God said love because I ask you to. I'm commanding you to. Because I know it's best for you. Isn't it best if Josiah loves Andrew and Andrew loves Josiah? Sure, it's best. So don't figure out, it's not beneficial to me. It's best, Lord, I'll do what you ask. All of us, do you understand love is commandment? If Cain were to follow the commandment, he'd never killed his brother. But he didn't. He got jealous. Jealousy will ruin love. A lot of things ruin love. But God says, put all that beside you. Okay, older women, I know a young lady was assigned to this husband. And what is this husband like? Do you know how much easier it is to love someone that loves you back? So God looks at every man in this room and says, now I hold you responsible for your home. So you love your wife. Well, I didn't pick her. So what? How many of you got to pick your wife? Raise your hand. We got no excuse. I'm not going to ask who didn't get a chance to pick your wife because I know who they are. But they're in love with each other. You know why? They obeyed the command of the Lord. And there are wives that have been married for a while to say, let me help you know how to love your husband. You don't love according to benefit. You love to try to please the Lord and let the Lord take care of your husband. You be good to your husband. When you love someone, you want to do things for them. Win his heart. But then God looks at the husband and says, don't make her win your heart. You give her your love at the first place. Now, I hope you understand, love is a commandment. We don't get a choice in it. It's for everybody in this room. You're commanded to love somebody. Children, love your parents. Obey your parents. Love them. Parents, love your children. Did you notice? Did you catch it? Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Older women to teach younger women to love their husbands and, you may know the next phrase, next word, their children. There are women that didn't love their children. And so the older women that had learned the commandment of God said, look, let me encourage you. You need to love your children. But I didn't want children. I was forced into a marriage. And they're a gift to you from the Lord. Love your children. Okay. It prevents bitterness. You'll never be happy if you let bitterness into your heart. How many of you know what gangrene is? Okay. It is a rottening of the flesh because of some poison or an infection. And I can remember hating that word because my wife is diabetic and she had very poor circulation, and many times we had to go to the doctor. And she was such a trooper. But I know that we had surgery for gangrene at least half a dozen times. When I see gangrene, I remind myself that's what bitterness does to the heart. Don't let gangrene get into your family. It can't be fixed when it goes too far. That's when he said, husband, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. Don't let your heart, don't give permission to your heart to have bad feelings. It'll ruin you. You'll lose something of your life. It'll have to be cut out if you get bitter. Realize love is a commandment. Does anybody know what Manasseh? Now keep in mind, you've got Joseph. He was sold as a slave by his brothers. Can you imagine what his feelings could have been? I hate my brothers. Well, you know the story. His brothers come, buy food, and he's already married. He was assigned a wife, and he has two sons, and one of them he names Manasseh. Now, does anybody know what Manasseh means? It means to forget or forget it. He tried to not be bitter toward his family, so he just said, I'll set them aside. The hurt is going away. I'm not going to let it. He didn't know where they were. I mean, he couldn't go back to them. He didn't know if they were dead or alive. So he named his son Manasseh. Forget, I had a family before, but I'm not going to be bitter. I had brothers, but I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to forget that. So when he saw his son, forgetting. You and I may need to name our son or daughter the word for forgetting so that we don't hold bitterness in our heart. So when his brothers did come, you know what he did? He said, how is my father? And he said, God, his brothers, he looked at them and says, it's not your fault. God used you to bring me here to spare the world of death by famine. It wasn't your fault. That's what forgetting injustices will do for you. It'll let you look at your enemies, brother, sister, husband, and wife, and forget it. Manasseh, move on. Love your wife. Love your husband. We don't get to choose and say, well, Pastor, do you know she spends money like it's water. Now, we have to pray that the Lord gets hold of her heart. And maybe your husband doesn't spend anything. He doesn't do things for you. My point to you is that the command of God for all of us in this room, if you want to protect yourself from bitterness, is to love your mate and those in your house so that house becomes a home. Number two, remember to forgive. I'm not going to take a long time here, but there are all kinds of stories. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 11. I just want to see this verse. Mark 11. And I want you to see it real quickly. Mark 11. Look with me if you would. Verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. Lord, forgive me for this. And if you have aught against any, Lord. Now, let me pause just for a minute. Does anybody know what forgiveness is? Well, listen very carefully. Two Greek words put together. Well, a Greek word and a prefix. Aphéimi. Aphéimi is to send away or send. Alpha negative on the front of it. Send it away. Okay? So forgiveness, aphéimi, send it away. All right? He says, look, if you're praying, how many of you have done something this week that you should have asked or you did ask the Lord to forgive you for? Raise your hand. Let me see it up. Just raise it. Okay. That's pretty well all of us. Because we're sinners. We do things we ought not to do. I hope some of you looked at your mate and said, you know, I said that. It didn't come out right. Would you forgive me, honey? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And it wasn't that way, honey. I just wasn't thinking. I did that with Susan. Sometimes I'd be focusing on something and she'd say, hey, honey, could you, what? I'm sorry, sweetheart. I didn't mean it that way. And so, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me not to speak that way to her. Okay? Lord, would you forgive me for speaking that way? I want to do better than that. The Lord, look at me. Let's read this verse. Look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive. So if you say, I've got this thing against my wife because she went and spent too much money, or she went and did this, or my husband did this to me, my husband did that to me, but Lord, I want to be right with you. Can't be done. You have to forgive them before God forgives you. Oh, do I have to forgive them? Pittman, do you know what you did to my son on the cross? Do you know why he went there? It's because of your filthy thoughts and your filthy attitude and your mean spirit sometimes and your jealousy and your bitterness and your covetousness and your all these things. Oh, Lord, I got it. I'm sorry. I'll forgive Brother Scott. I'll forgive him. Would you forgive me? Plan to forgive. You cannot have a home unless you forgive. You'll only have a house. It'll never be sweet. Remember, you got to forgive. Every one of us in this room, you have to learn to forgive no matter what's happened. I've had the privilege of marrying couples back to each other because they got a divorce and they pulled away, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit got a hold of their heart and I got to marry them back to each other. All I'm trying to say to you is this. Learn to forgive to make your house a home. You have to. If you've been married, Brother Milburn, how long have you and your wife been married?
61 years.
Did you hear? He knows it. That was a good thing. Point for you, okay? Been married 61 years. That's great. Knows that. Okay. You can have a house at 61 years of marriage. Or you can have a home. Who's been married real short? Let's see here. Oh, Rebecca. How long have you been married? 8 months. Wow. Can't have a home unless you forgive each other. Now, I would think that she's probably pretty easy to forgive, right? There you go. That's a good point. See, did you see that? Jesus shook his head real quick. That's good. They've got a home, at least until he does something else. That'll be good, okay? And then she's got to say, I forgive you, honey. Remember to forgive. You've got to say, look, I've got to realize I'm supposed to love my wife, and I've got to remember to forgive her. When I pray, God says, nope. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter. I want you to see this very quickly. 1 Peter. I'm rushing for time, but I want you to notice 1 Peter. Notice with me, if you would. I want you to see with me in verse 7, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, your husband dwell with him according to knowledge. The knowledge that they're not perfect. The knowledge that no one's perfect. Giving honor unto the wife. You respect her. Lift her up. She's God's gift to you. You treat her special. As unto the weaker vessel, you treat her special as though she's weaker than you are. Why? You respect your husband as though he's weaker to you. Every one of us look to our mates to try to encourage them, lift them up. And notice it says, as being heirs together of the grace of life. You're a team. He said, notice this, that your prayers be not hindered. Now let me pause for a minute. What are the first three words of verse 7? Likewise, your what? Husbands. God says, I'm not going to answer your prayers, Pittman, unless you treat your wife special. That includes forgiving her. So my wife would tell me, Susan would tell me often, I want you to be the best Christian on the face of the earth. And I said, well, thank you, honey. She says, I know if you are, you have to treat me really good. She was dead right. Now, realize love is commandment. Remember to forgive. Prevents bitterness. But I want you to listen to this. Reiterate your love. Express yourself. Now, look, I'm going to tell you something. I grew up in a home that broke up. So I made a commitment. No one told me. No one said anything to me. But in Texas, you always treat the girls different. I mean, you're supposed to. That's probably gone by now. But when I was growing up, I didn't have a sister. And I looked forward to having a wife. And I didn't know all the things you're supposed to do for her. But I knew some things you're supposed to do for her. You're supposed to express yourself regularly. And so I told her, I said, I'll tell you I love you every day and I'll mean it from my heart. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to, whenever we go someplace, I'll open the door for you. Just wait. There were a couple times I remember we married. Now, for 41 years, I opened the door for her. If we came into church, she went in first. Express your love. I know we get old. You don't have to do any of these things. I'm just telling you, it made our home, our house, home. Because I wanted her to know she was special to me. Now, when she lost a leg, I had to open the door. But it was just a greater joy to do it. I can remember a couple times I said, honey, I don't ever want you to get out till I open the door. And I don't want you to go into church. I want to open the door for you. Okay, I want to hold your hand. I've told you the stories going to the mall. Hey, let's hold hands. And I drag her like this because I wanted to hurry up and get to the store. And I drag her back out. And, you know, she said, could you slow down just a little bit? Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't learn to treat her like a weaker vessel for a long time. But I did notice that as I held her hand, I couldn't get too far from her. She might be flapping in the wind as I'm going, but she was still there. And you know what I really realized what I had been doing? When she got that white, pearl white wheelchair. We're in the mall. She said, can we go to the mall? Sure. Went in, got the wheelchair, opened her door, put her into the wheelchair, went to the mall. And she gunned it. And it took off. She said, come on, honey. Come on, honey. Held her hand out. I said, I can't go that fast. She said, I went, I'm sorry. Again. Would you put it on half throttle for me? Sure, honey. Come here. So we walked down the mall, half throttle. Holding hands. She's in a wheelchair and I wasn't. And you know, people can look at this kind of strange. In Christian love, I wanted to go. I love her. And I kind of got over the embarrassment after a little while of walking with someone in a wheelchair. And I realized I was just trying to treat her special. Express yourself. Tell your mates you love them regularly. Do the little things for them. One of the things I lost when Susan went to heaven was the privilege of being able to express myself. It causes loneliness. I don't have any. I'd go to Costco and I'd see 2 dozen roses for $20. I sent 1 dozen roses to Janet. Cost me $77 to turn that out of the thing. Don't let them put that on there. Forgot. I can't wait for her to get here so I can get 2 dozen for cheap. But I had nobody to buy anything for. You don't realize until all of a sudden that's taken away from you. I went out to dinner one time by myself. I didn't do it again. She's been in heaven for 5 years. I don't go to dinner by myself. It's no fun. Express yourself. Make your house a home. Don't let the old devil steal from you the sweetness of your home. You've got to work at it. I remember a few times I would get out of the car and I'd go in. I'd forget to open the door for her. And so I'd go in and I'd start toward the door of the shopping place we're going to. And I turn and look back. She's still sitting in the car. I'm sorry, I forgot. Oh, no problem. I'd get out. I don't want you to get out. You know what? It was my way of helping me not to forget. But a couple of times she sat there for a while. I don't know if she was sweating or not. I hope it wasn't a hot day. I don't remember, but she waited. She did exactly what I asked her to do. All I'm trying to say to you, express yourself. Do things to write on your mirror. I love you. And get a bar of soap right on the mirror. I love you. Don't use her lipstick. That's too expensive. But you can use a bar of soap. Cheap. You know, for 45 years, I bought the same perfume for Susan. It started out like $12 a bottle. It got to where I bought stock in the company every time I bought one. $50, $60. I said, wow, could we get a cheaper perfume? She said, I thought you liked it. I do. And so I'd save up money, go down to get it again. Look, show your love, express yourself. We don't do that very much. And our home becomes a house. After 5 years of marriage, 15 years of marriage, 30 years of marriage, keep it sweet. Now, no one can keep you from doing your part and a little more. But if you wait to express yourself and the other person does, your home is going to become a house. Be good to your mate, whether good back or not, because it's right. Next thing, relish the idea of changing to be what your mate needs. Relish. Look forward to. Enjoy. Listen to me. Everybody in this room has got to change some things. In order to be a good husband, you have to change some things. And as they go along, you have to change things. I remember when I was young, I always wanted a two-door car. I wanted a sports car, two doors. I thought everybody had a four-door car. It was just nuts. Well, you may have two or three children. I don't want that. I don't care. Try to get one of those car seats that weighs 58 pounds, and you can take your kid and roll them down 70 miles an hour down the expressway, and they're going to wake you up. It's going to be great. Pick that thing up and put it in your back seat with one door, try to get the seat up and get it in there, get it locked in. Now we're going to go to the store, open the door, get back. It's miserable. You know what? It didn't take me long. When Jeremy came along, four doors are really nice. And since Jeremy, it's his fault. But since Jeremy, I've had to drive a four-door car or truck. I got a truck four doors, for crying out loud. I didn't even make those. Had to pray one of those into existence just to be able to have four doors. But you can't look at it and say, but this is what I want. Be willing to change. I'll do anything I have to do to meet the needs of my mate. The reason Susan enjoyed me building her a house is because she could cook for me. She loved to cook and I loved to eat. So it was a good deal for both of us. But she died wanting to cook for me, because she knew that was important to me and she loved to cook for me. Change. She had no legs. But I want to cook for you. We have to learn to change to be what our mate needs. Love them, forgive them, express yourself, change to be what your mate needs. Every one of us are not perfect. So let's every one of us be willing to change. Now, 2 Corinthians 3 says, changed into his image. If you try to be in the image of Christ, your wife won't have to say one thing for you to change. Because if you're like Christ, you'll be just exactly what she needs. Change into his image. And lastly, request in prayer a greater love for your mate or for your brother every day. I want you to understand something. Susan was in the hospital. She was missing both legs. Couldn't see very well. On dialysis, kidneys didn't work. And she didn't feel pretty. She felt unlovable. She would tell me that. And I said, that's a lie of the devil. And I'd get up in bed and I'd lay down with her and I'd say, honey, I love you. You're beautiful to me. But she wouldn't have been pretty unless I would have said, Lord, give me a greater love for her tomorrow than I have today. Because she was going downhill. Every day in the hospital, all 77 before she died, honey, I want you to know I love you. I wish it wasn't like this. Sweetheart, you're beautiful. Why do we want a perfect wife before we love them? Or a perfect husband before we love him? That's the reason love is a command. It's not easy, but it's got to be done. Read an article in Texas. Not everybody in Texas is a good guy. Young couple. Now, most of them drive trucks. I'll just tell you that. So you got a dog in the back and a truck. Okay. Well, this lady was sitting at a light. They've been married a few years and didn't have any children. She was sitting at a light with her pickup truck, and somebody in the back came drunk so fast they hit the back of the pickup truck. It knocked the tailgate through the back window and broke her neck. She was in the hospital. She was laying there. Husband's all worried. They let him in to see her. And he realizes she'll never be the same. And he turned and walked away and left her. Because she couldn't give to him what he wanted. A dirt bag that God would have to take care of. For good, for bad. Health or sickness. Wealth or penniless. You and I, if you want a home and not a house, you've got to learn to love because it's right. You have to learn to forgive and remember it because it's required to prevent bitterness, to keep sweetness. You've got to forgive. You've got to express yourself regularly. It's important to encourage your mate. And you got to be willing to change. Because we all need somebody different after we've been married 3 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years. And finally, pray. Lord, help me to love my mate more now than ever before. If you don't, you'll become like the guy that first thing happens to your husband or your wife and say, I don't be attached to that. And you'll walk away. Today, let's learn. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Older women, teach your younger women to love their husbands. Today, building love in a home is pretty simple. In list, but it's hard in heart. Don't let your house stay a house. Make it a home. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. We have a word of prayer. If you need to come this morning, I encourage you to come. We're not going to sing long, but we want to make sure that you're available. If you need to join our church, you need to be baptized, whatever the need is today, I want to encourage you to do the will of God today. Father, would you speak to hearts as only you can? Lord, you know we need you today. I pray that you'd help those homes that are struggling. Father, I just gave them scripture this morning. That's all that is, Lord. You said if they didn't forgive, that you wouldn't answer their prayers. Lord, we can't be right with you if we don't forgive. Lord, we can't be right with you if we don't grant forgiveness. Lord, we can't be right with you if we don't ask for forgiveness. Lord, we can't be right with you if we don't love our mates, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, give us a home, not a house. In your name we pray. Amen.